With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome back.
We've not been anywhere yet. What do you mean welcome back? We've not even started yet.
No, you said welcome last week.
Last week what? Well, I know.
So they're welcomed back.
Well, they are if they've been listening to the first 11 of these podcasts.
So welcome back to Ruthie, me and my dad. And if you've not been here before, then just welcome.
It's the 12th one of Ruthie, me and my dad. We haven't done a dozen yet. And we start with our unaccountably popular little sting.
We'll start with our sting and then you go back to what you were saying. The sting needs to be...
popular.
It's not fully integrated.
It's very, very popular, though. Since I've been using it, people are going around saying, ding, 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 ding.
Ding.
So it is the 12th one. Ruth, first of all, I'd just like to say how fortunate you are.
Why?
Well, I'll tell you exactly why. There's a new book out by a BBC news presenter called Catty Kay. And the book is all about building confidence in girls. It says, Fathers should save their daughters from a quest for perfection and a lack of self-confidence that's crippling girls across the Western world.
According to this, I do feel crippled.
Yeah, well, it's a bestseller, this book. It's selling exceptionally
really?
Well. Yeah, it is, really is. Selling exceptionally well in America. And it's just out over here. It says a typical girl's...
Yeah, but you know Americans.
Well, let me tell you this.
Yeah, go on. Sorry.
According to the story, a typical girl's self-confidence drops by about 30% between the ages of 8 and 14. Mm-hmm. And fathers, that's me, are better at spotting...
Thanks. Just keep me updated, please.
I will do. Fathers are better at spotting the dip than mothers, many of whom themselves lack confidence. Fathers are more likely...
So surprised about that.
It says here, father, this is what she's written in the book, which I presume has made it a controversial and best-selling book. Fathers are more likely than mothers to be able accurately to estimate their child's confidence. It's really touched a nerve, says Kay, who's presenter of BBC World News America. And she looks American, and I say that because of her teeth. See, she's got a full mouth of white teeth.
Yeah.
Anyway, the book is a self-help book.
I'm a bit sceptical about that, about dads being better to spot it, because I just thought it was mums, that's all.
Well, you would think so, because mums have been through the same thing that the daughters
have
been through.
Mums understand the pressures of young girls to like look a certain way and dress a certain way. Like, I don't think you understand that as well as mum does.
No, I don't. So, Ruth, tell me what's going on with you.
With me?
With you.
Oh, I thought you meant, like, in the world.
Well, in the world that you're interested in.
I'm fine. School's quite stressful. I've got mocks coming up soon. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to ask you, this was one of my things. So mocks, like practice exams, basically. I wondered whether you thought that the pressure to do well in school was more now than it had been, you know, like in the olden days?
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is.
Yeah, and so I wondered did you get nervous for exams? Did you revise a lot before exams? Like, what was all that like?
I didn't revise a lot. I did get nervous, but I always...
Did you?
Yeah, I always thought a little bit nervous. I hoped I could get away with it. I certainly didn't sail through exams, you know, as my results would testify. But I think the pressure is much greater nowadays.
Why do you think that is?
I think because there's so much media around telling you how difficult it is to get a job and how you might not get a house. And then you've got fees at university, which we didn't used to have.
Crazy. The thing about, like, university fees. So we were doing... So I do French which I might have I've mentioned before. But I do French in school, which is a like really difficult. But anyway, we were talking about how you can go and study in France and it's only £400 a year. Yet here it's £9,000. And I don't understand how a country can afford to do it for free if we're having to pay that much.
I presume they put the money on the tax in France and Germany. They must do. There's no...
It must be coming from somewhere. But then you think, how many people actually pay back their student loan?
Not that many. Not that many. You know, I mean, I don't know what the debt is.
What is it? You come out with like 50 grand at the end.
Student debt must be billions. Yeah, I mean, you come out with that, and then you don't have to start paying it back until you're earning a certain amount.
And then it gets wiped when you're like 55 or something. So I was just thinking, more people go to university now. I wonder whether in the olden days, like medieval times when you were going to university, it started off barely any people were going, and then now tons and tons of people going. And I wonder whether that's going to, the balance is going to redress and it's going to become... not so many people will go to university anymore. But the things that they were saying when they were talking about going and studying abroad is that German and France universities will put on special classes for English people to attract their minds and let them study for free, because they know that once they come here they'll get used to the certain way of life and then they'll probably stay. So it's good for the economy in general because you're attracting these brilliant minds. Whereas what we do is we just let our minds go. We don't attract new minds and then we're left to stagnate.
Well, I don't know. And I wonder whether that's
what happened.
Well, no, it's not, because we a lot of universities market like mad to overseas students, not European students so much, but students from the Far East. It's a big, big part of the university's business is students from overseas. I mean, there's two arguments. The other argument about fees is, if universities are funded properly with high fees, it encourages research and they can do more work on research and everything. And that makes our universities the best in the world. That is, I'm not saying that's my argument, but that is one of the arguments.
Yeah, I don't think fees should be so high, because no one should feel like they can't go if they want to.
Mm.
Well, not that everyone should feel like they have to go. I know that's one thing that they like really do at my college, is they're like, go to university, and then some people are like, I don't want to go to university, and get made to feel quite mediocre about that.
Mm. Well, that's wrong, they shouldn't. Okay, let's decide on music, what music you're going to bring this week. We'll start with you. You've brought Little Dicky. Tell me, or Lil Dicky.
Lil Dicky, yeah.
Lil Dicky, but it's Lil as in American.
Little Dicky.
It's Lil as in American means little, doesn't it?
Yeah, like Lil Dicky, Lil Peep, Lil Pump.
Yeah, so Lil Dicky. Tell me about Lil Dicky.
Lil Dicky is a rapper. He's a white guy, which is quite surprising because most
rappers are black, yeah. He's white.
And he does quite clever lyrics. So his first album was called Professional Rapper. He talks about like changing the rap game, and he does a song with Snoop Dogg. He talks a lot about, you know, changing the face of rap and making it different and stuff.
Yeah, well, this one we're going to play, because I don't...
Oh, this song is Freaky Friday.
Yeah.
Featuring DJ Khaled and Kendall Jenner and Ed Sheeran.
The bit on the video that I saw, which was this Lil Dicky guy sitting in a Chinese restaurant, and then...
The Chinese guy, like, does some, like, voodoo.
Yeah, because the Chinese
stuff.
Are very mystical and voodoo and all that. A little bit of racial stereotyping in there for a rap video. But anyway, so you got the Chinese guy, who's
and
this mystical guy.
He makes Lil Dicky swap places with Chris Brown.
Who's a proper rapper, another rapper.
Yeah, and who is Chris Brown's former partner?
Chris Brown's former partner is Kendall Jenner or Kylie Minogue. I don't know.
Kylie Minogue! Rihanna.
Rihanna.
You know this, because he was accused of abusing her.
Right, like, of course he was. Abuse. Chris Brown.
Yeah. And it probably definitely happened.
It probably definitely happened.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, it always interesting things that probably definitely.
Pretty much there.
Pretty much, probably, definitely. So we'll hear 20 seconds of the song for...
Reviews purposes.
Review purposes.
Couldn't remember what it was. I kept wanting to say copyright purposes.
Yeah, no, it's for review purposes. So we hear 20 seconds of it. It's Lil Dicky and Freaky Friday.
I woke up Chris Breezy. Oh my God, I'm the man. I'm so fly and I can dance. There's tattoos on my neck. I just FaceTime Kanye. I told him I'm his biggest fan, yeah. Got all these hoes in my DM.
Hold
up. Holy shit, I got a kid. Oh, I can sing so
So well done, Ruth. You've once more justified our explicit tag because there's a holy shit in the middle of that.
Good.
So well done. We are now officially explicit.
I forgot to say that Chris Brown sings in it as well.
Yeah.
I didn't know whether I
it was,
said
but that. Was
that was Chris Brown. No,
oh, that was Chris Brown. Right.
Yeah.
And then Lil Dicky.
You know
comes
where he's like, I can sing so well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Lil Dicky comes in later. It's a shame you actually didn't pick out the best bit of the song.
Oh, so
you didn't pick out like the chorus or anything.
Yeah,
that when Lil Dicky's actually singing.
That could be because I got it at a fairly late stage, as opposed to getting.
How long did that take you to do?
Mine was really, not very long at all.
Yeah, exactly. And when did I send it to you?
This morning, but
so.
If you'd have said to me yesterday, I would have listened to the whole thing. To be honest, I wasn't that keen on it, so I didn't listen to much of it.
Lil Dicky will be upset to hear that.
Lil Dicky, but that wasn't Lil Dicky, that was Chris Brown,
that was
wasn't
Chris
it?
Brown. But Lil Dicky wrote the song.
Right. So he wrote all that.
Yeah.
Well, well done, Lil Dicky.
It's good. He's taking the mick out of himself a bit.
Yes, he's a sort. Well, I got the impression from the little video that he was a bit of a comedy rapper.
Yeah. I think that's
because he's a white nerdy looking guy.
In Professional Rapper, which he does with Snoop Dogg, he talks about how, I mean, it is like a comedy song and it's meant to be like that. There's an assistant character and it's funny, but he talks about a lot of these of the previous ones we've listened to. I know I've got you to listen to some Kendrick and some Boogie with the Hoodie and stuff, and they talk about how they're from the projects and they've beaten these things, and Eminem talks about how he's from, you know, like a trailer park and stuff. And he was saying, I've never really had to struggle for everything. I just had a different type of struggle. And I think he, you know,
so he's sort
very
of middle
different.
Middle class.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so he looks it. He looks middle class, I have to say. Right, my song. We're going back to 1961. So again, just pre-Beatles. Jazz, basically. We did
again?
Yes, again. Well, it's jazz converted to pop. Basically, it was a jazz tune by Nat Adderley, who was a jazz cornetist. It was a hit as a jazz song. Then this guy, who's quite interesting guy, he's called Oscar Brown Jr., he was named after his father, who was called Oscar Brown Sr. So he's the son of Oscar Brown. He was born and raised on the south side of Chicago. And he was a writer more than a singer, really. Mm-hmm. And he, again, quite middle class in that his father was a lawyer. And
wow, look at this, like, Lil Dicky and Oscar Brown Jr.
Yeah, his father actually wanted him to follow in his footsteps and become a practicing lawyer. Now, I suspect you'll be familiar with the tune. We used to play it a heck of a lot on Jazz FM before you were born, but you may be familiar with the tune. He put lyrics to it. It was also his lyrics were also used by Nina Simone because she did a version of it as well. It's a work song.
Breaking up big rocks on a chain gang. Breaking rocks and saving my time. Breaking rocks out there on a chain gang. Cause I've been convicted of crime. Hold it steady right there while I hit it. Yeah, I reckon that ought to get it in working. And working. But I still got the table long to go.
Well, there he is, Oscar Brown.
I don't think I know it, you know.
Don't you?
No.
Ah, well, you should get to know it. I've got the whole one not in the car, but I can get it.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to have to listen to whatever Oscar Brown Jr. is for weeks on end now.
Yeah. But he was interesting. He basically started fairly late in life singing, but before that he was writing. His father wanted him to be a lawyer.
Was he writing songs?
No, he was writing all sorts of things. He was an activist, really. He was writing stuff about black people on the south side of Chicago. And
he's a black guy.
He's a black guy, yes, he is. And lots of British bands covered those songs. It was R&B, really, sort of jazz melding into R&B. And lots of early British bands of the 60s covered those songs from out of Chicago and everything. Georgie Fame and the Blue Flames, who you probably don't know, did a cover of that. And it did just nibble at the bottom of the British charts. But anyway, he was only signed a record deal. He was in his mid-30s by the time he signed a record deal.
Old.
And already...
what would it be like to be older than mid-30s?
Oh, I have no idea.
Gross.
And he was married with 5 children at the time.
Five
children. He's in his mid-30s, married with 5
wow.
children, and got a record deal. Well, now let's talk about pictures, selfies, and pictures that you take on the phone.
Pictures that you take on the phone?
Yes.
Sounds like you'd never heard of a picture then. Pictures that you take on the phone?
On the phone. Well, as opposed to sort of pictures that you might carefully compose with a camera. This is when you go to a beauty spot and decide, it's high time I took a picture of myself. So if rather than taking a picture of the actual beauty spot and the beauties of nature, you take a picture of yourself, or alternatively, sit there just playing on your phone or looking
at
Facebook.
Oh, I've seen these pictures.
It was a bit of a Twitter storm.
Yeah, yes. About people in lovely places who just go on their phones.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it
was David Baddiel.
This reminds me of David, my brother.
He does it all the time, doesn't he? David Baddiel, who's a comedian, took a picture of his son, Ezra, on the phone, saying, "My son, hypnotised and overawed as ever by the beauty of nature."
I wonder whether his son was named after Ezra Pound.
Who knows? But his son was, it's just a nice middle class name, Ezra, isn't it? But his son,
I'd never heard anyone be called Ezra apart from Ezra
really?
Pound.
Oh, yeah, I've had a few Ezras, middle class
Ezra,
kids.
There was a character in Pretty Little Liars that was called Ezra. Which was a teen girl Netflix series.
Yeah. Well, they're sitting, little Ezra here is sitting on some rocks looking at the, well.
Oh, this annoys me though, because maybe he's just been looking at the rocks before.
And
he's looked at the rocks.
Right,
he was like,
enough,
right.
That's enough rocks.
I've looked at these rocks.
Let's see what's happening on Facebook.
You don't know what he's doing.
No, you don't. But it was an amusing little tweet.
He could be giving money to charities.
This was an amusing.
Maybe not.
Maybe not.
He could.
This is an amusing. But even if he is going to manage, you'd think he could wait until he was back at home before he got on his
poverty foot. Doesn't wait for people, Dad.
But he's there on these rocks overlooking the beauty, the majesty of the Atlantic Ocean. He's on his phone, basically. And Baddiel did this amusing tweet.
Also, how did he manage to get that picture?
Good point.
With his phone?
Possibly.
I've cracked it.
Well, lots of people made these points because it started a bit of a Twitter thread, or maybe even almost like a meme, isn't it? Almost like a meme.
No.
No, I thought that was a meme. If you take a picture and then do an amusing caption.
Yeah, but that's not really, it's like not like a cap. That's not like a meme type caption.
Sounds to me exactly like a meme type. From the way you've been explaining memes over the last few weeks,
well, that
sounds like a meme. Because he said, he just took the picture and wrote, "My son, hypnotised and overawed as ever by the beauty of nature."
It's a bit too eloquent for a meme.
Is it? Mm. Loads of other people did the same thing.
Yeah.
They took pictures of their own kids and everything. Although, interestingly enough, Jonathan Ross disagreed with David Baddiel.
You're not a massive fan of Jonathan Ross, are you?
Yeah, no, I don't mind Jonathan Ross.
Oh, right. Ross, yeah. Who is it that you don't like?
Who's that? James Corden.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jonathan Ross.
We've spoken here about James Corden.
Thumbs up
Corden,
for Jonathan Ross. James Corden.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't go overboard with Jonathan Ross, but...
Thumbs middle,
I think, for Jonathan Ross. I'm neither
thumbs
here nor
up
there.
For Graham Norton. I love Graham Norton.
Yeah.
I watch all his clips on YouTube all the
really?
Time. Yeah, I absolutely love Graham Norton. I think he's so funny.
Really?
I think he really like gets the best out of his guests.
Yeah, I'm not averse. I would put Jonathan Ross and Graham Norton about the same category. Middle.
You wouldn't put Graham Norton above Jonathan
Do you know what?
Ross?
If I'm watching TV and they're two chat shows coincide, I would probably see if there was something else on elsewhere.
Gosh, well,
I don't think the one thing I don't think we can do.
Woohoo you!
Yeah, the one thing I don't think we can do in this country is those late night chat shows the way the Americans do them.
I think Graham Norton does it.
Do you think so?
Like better than Jim? Like
better than Jimmy Fallon or Jimmy Kimmel?
No, Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel
Conan
and
O'Brien.
Jimmy Fallon are good.
Conan
Seth Meyers.
The
there's so many of them as well.
There's lots of them, and some of them, and nobody.
What's the name? There's that man
Letterman.
And woman, David Letterman, but he's been shunned from Hollywood now, hasn't he?
Has he been shunned? Well, I know he's not doing his chat show anymore.
No, but I thought, didn't he get accused of something?
No, don't start accusing people.
No, he did.
Oh, he did. He'd had sex with members, but consensual sex, I think. But he. Yeah, I think it was. Or he might have been acting inappropriately around
some people. Yeah, I thought that he had had...
It was on the lower end of the scale.
You are becoming a bit of a defender of the
What, just
abusers.
Because I like Woody Allen? Just because...
Well, no, you're very quick to go to their defence.
Well, no, I think...
What I would say.
Yeah.
True?
No, I think I can see degrees in this. I don't see why everybody should be lumped in together. Harvey Weinstein, I'm not... Try me a million times, and I won't jump to the defence of Harvey Weinstein. And I didn't even think Shakespeare in Love was much of a decent movie. So
I like Shakespeare in Love.
Did you?
Well, that's the problem.
That's the problem. But so I'm not going to jump in for Harvey Weinstein. I'm not going to jump in for Louis C.K. or any of these people who've behaved really abysmally. But I think with Letterman... I know it's a hard defence, but times were different.
The times were different. Defence is it's not okay when it comes to sexism or racism or sexual abuse. It's just not okay, and it really frustrates me when people have like a racist grandparent, and they say, "Oh, well, that's just grandma. You know, she's just like that." I think you should be allowed to call out the older generation.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
For saying stuff that's just not appropriate. But then I think you get, well,
but
yeah, but
there's a balance.
They live in a different time, you know.
And it's not so much that. It's just that you have to, it's nice to maintain cordial relations with your grandparents. So let it ride. Just let it ride occasionally.
I guess so. But also, like, you don't have to do it in a big argument where you can just say, you know, that's not right.
Yes.
That's not okay. Do you know what I mean? Just like letting things slide just because someone is older. It's not really right.
Well, it depends. If they're your relative and they happen to be older and they talk about maybe the off-licence and use a racial epithet to describe the off-licence, you're probably as well just letting it go, I would have said. Just out of politeness,
I guess,
really.
Balance. Yeah,
occasionally you have to let things go. And I'm prepared to let things go with David Letterman because for years...
Because you think he's a really good talk show host.
That show was just the best, just the best. And I don't think he's been accused of anything major, put it that way. He's been accused of stuff which these days
you
wouldn't...
Just a little bit of sexual assault. It's all right. Just a touch.
No, I don't think he's been accused of sexual assault. No. I don't think he's assaulted
anybody.
Inappropriate behaviour.
Which is not as bad, yeah.
Which is as bad.
And I was making a joke.
Yeah, and a very good joke it was too. I've heard the argument. It's like saying, oh, you can't be a little bit pregnant. You know, it's the same, it's a similar sort of argument, but I don't entirely go along with it. And by the sound of things, you don't entirely go along with it either.
I go along with it more than you do, though.
Well, you would expect that. Let me read this to you. Parents have been urged to be stricter about bedtime and confiscate phones and tablets at night after researchers found that children who did not get enough sleep were up to twice as likely to become overweight.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Right now I want to sleep all the time. I didn't care up until that point. I was like tired, agitated, whatever, but overweight.
Yeah.
That's it.
Sleep deprivation can disrupt hormonal signals that we have eaten enough and lead to chronic inflammation, scientists say. Tiredness also means that people feel less like exercising. So all those evenings when I've come into your room and said, switch your devices off now, switch your phone off, switch your computer off.
I'm not that bad, actually. No. Yeah, I'm not that bad.
But now you've been warned. I think they just issue these warnings to try. I mean, I think they like people to get a decent amount of sleep, so these health
It definitely is good for you to get a good night's sleep.
Mm. How many hours do you think?
How many hours?
Yeah.
So depends what age you are.
I was going to say,
it's 17. It's tons. It's like 8 to 9 at 17.
Yeah. You've never had 8 to 9 hours, do you?
You've been looking
at 6 to 7, you maybe have. And another survey that's been done here says a recruitment agent has been criticised for a rant in which, this is what he said in his rant, in which he said that anyone under 25 and not in work was a, quote, lazy little shit.
Is that actually the quote?
That's the quote. Josh Harrison of Leeds, who's in his late 20s and has 6 recommendations on the LinkedIn business networking site. LinkedIn is such nonsense, Sam.
LinkedIn? I don't even...
Well, it's supposed to be...
I've got a LinkedIn. I don't even remember making it.
No. Well, everybody's on. I get
everybody's
at least
on LinkedIn.
7
notifications
a day.
Is it more like a corporate thing?
It's supposed to be, but I get like 7 notifications every day.
Oh, I don't get that.
Somebody's requested to be, it's not a friend, whatever it is on LinkedIn. It's requested to be connected with me.
Oh, I said a comrade.
No, it's not a comrade. That's a different site altogether. That's karlmarx.co.uk.
Oh, Karl Marx. Yeah, Communist Manifesto.
Yeah.
.ac.uk.
Anyway, it says has 6 recommendations on the LinkedIn business networking site where he made his comment saying it was easier than ever to get a well-paid job. Young people who are not employed...
What's he on? Like crack or something?
No, he's the chief executive of Big Youth Group. Big Youth Group.
Wouldn't say that if I was
actually,
in charge
of Big Youth Group. He sent the message to Big Youth Group.
What does he do? He's unemployed.
Josh Harrison's... You know, it doesn't even say what he does, except that all it says is he's got 6 recommendations. Young people who are not employed either don't want to be or are not trying hard enough, he said. His remarks appeared to be aimed at Jack Parsons, 24, he's 25, the other guy's 24, chief executive of Big Youth Group, which works to improve opportunities for young people, and who had shared an old rejection letter. Mr. Parsons suggested...
This guy strikes me as just an idiot.
He's just an idiot, I think.
I don't even think there's any gravity.
Or gravitas, last week we had.
I was going to use... You know what? I was actually going to use gravity again. Like, I've written down in my notes about something having gravity.
Is there anything else there in your notes?
Yeah, I've
Good.
Got two
Okay,
things.
Well, let's play the transitional music and then you can tell us what's in your thing.
So, I was reading about...
Well, the word for what? I don't even know what you're going to say, so how would I know what the word is? Rhubarb. Concrete.
Rhubarb, there it is.
Cumulus nimbus.
It's not helpful at all.
Frank
and I can
Lampard.
See you thinking of more words, and that's not helpful. The big writing at the top of a newspaper article...
The headline!
Right. So, the headline of this article was, "Speak for a minute and Baidu Al can clone your voice." I'm not sure whether that's the right pronunciation. Sorry if I've offended any Baidus out there.
Baidu? How do you spell it?
B-A-I-D-U.
Baidu?
Baidu Al can clone your voice.
Right.
So basically, it's about an AI system that can, with 1 minute of snippets of your voice, can clone your voice and make you say whatever it wants you to say. And so this was quite scary to me because, as anyone who's a long-time listener of the podcast, I'm doing dystopian fiction in school, so I'm reading a lot of dystopian books. So anything bothers me because I'm like, oh... I've had nightmares about being taken over and being a handmaid and all sorts. Anyway, so in 1984, Orwell, in one of his critical essays, says history stopped in 1937, and obviously history didn't actually stop, but it's about, you know, Stalin's regime could change history and get rid of people out of certain photographs, and Nazis could rewrite it as what they wanted to say. It's almost a little bit like that. So I was just thinking about how this means we would really have a world without evidence. So when Trump's, the video of Trump saying grab him by the pussy came out, everyone was like, that is it. That's concrete evidence that he's actually said this thing. And that's an awful thing to say. You can't say that. But if that was to come out in 2-10 years' time, he'd be able to say, oh, I didn't say that. Someone's just made it sound like I can say that. Or, and people will be able to get a minute of someone's voice, people be able to get our voices and make us say whatever you want, and there'd be no truth anymore.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is
a really, really, really scary thing.
It is really scary. I mean, this is the fake news thing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You know, people.
And this, what did you call it this morning? We were talking about anti-Semitism in the Labour Party.
Oh, I called it revisionist history.
Yeah.
We were talking about the fact that some people say that Hitler was a Zionist. On the left wing of the Labour Party, they say Zionism is wrong, Israel is wrong, simply because, you know, the whole existence of Israel is wrong, because it was one of Hitler's ideas to repatriate the Jews.
Yeah.
And you said, how can people say that? And I said, it's a revisionist version of history. And some people will say it's true.
Again, I'm saying in The Handmaid's Tale, I know that it's like, I'm like, oh, dystopian books all the time. It feels like it's my only frame of reference. But
I think it's a good reference these days. With, you know, with
it feels
with
like we're living in a dystopian world, or it feels like better than. I really do think that The Handmaid's Tale is a better book than 1984 on all levels, character, everything. It's because she talks about how this world came into being, and I feel very much like I'm in the beginning of a totalitarian dystopian world.
Well, it's not. When you say
not totalitarian, but I feel very much like I'm in the beginnings of a dystopian world before a totalitarian regime takes over.
You know, that's probably pitching it a bit strong.
But
what's happened is, as far as media goes, you've got to be much, much more careful
about
what's true and what's not true.
In The Handmaid's Tale, she talks about how they basically said that they would send all the Jews off to Israel on boats, or they could convert. And obviously you would choose to go on a boat to Israel if all these things were happening. And then at the end of the book, it's revealed, sorry, spoilers, that the Jews get on the boats and then they just sink them in the Atlantic. And it's a little bit reminiscent of that, which is just...
Well, there were boats.
Yeah, that, and it's really just like... And that's what Hitler... It's that idea, and Margaret Atwood says she doesn't take anything. She takes everything from history of things that have actually happened. None of it's just fictitious. It's not Harry Potter. Unless people are... This is my other big fear. Alongside AI taking over the world, I'm a muggle in Harry Potter's universe, and everyone else is wizards. That's my other really big worry.
Yeah, it must be a real worry of you. It's funny you should say what your biggest worry is, because... I went to see a comedian on Saturday, and he was saying that the Germans can't do small talk. When you have a conversation with a German, it's always very serious. And he said he was talking to this... he was in Amsterdam, and he was talking to this German girl. They'd only been talking for a few minutes, and he was trying to do small talk, because it's because we're British, and that's all we do. We do small talk all the time. Mm. But because she's German, she didn't do small talk, and she just said to him, "What's your greatest fear in life?"
Oh, my gosh. What would you say?
She said, "What's your greatest fear in life?" And she says, "My fear..." Because, of course, when people ask you questions like that, they just want to tell you what their greatest fear is, rather than yours. And she said, "My greatest fear in life is that everything is illusory, that nothing is real, that eventually we're going to find out that none of us are real, nothing of this is real, and it will all just crumble and it'll just all be dust." And he said, oh yeah, my greatest fear is pigeons. And something else I was listening to this week, Ruth, I was listening to a piece by, interesting enough, Louis C.K. On this piece by Louis C.K., because we're still allowed to listen to him, it was an old piece. He was saying that everybody's got a friend they can't stand. And his friend that he can't stand said to him, "If you had a time machine, when would you go back to?" "I'd go back to when Hitler was around, and I'd kill Hitler." And he said, "If I had a time machine, I'd go like half an hour and punch him in the face so you didn't ask me that question."
This is not the point. You were making like a funny little joke, but...
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, no, it was funny. What I was going to say is, with the whole like going back in time thing, I actually...
I just don't
know what time I'll go back to, because I don't really... Like, I do want to kill Hitler. I don't want to say I don't want to kill Hitler, but then it will change history so much that I don't know what would happen.
Yes,
so then
it's
I don't
one of those
want
things
to kill
like,
Hitler, like butterfly effect.
The butterfly effect, yeah.
Yeah.
So if you kill a butterfly, it changes the whole... We're going, what's the butterfly effect?
So if a butterfly flaps its wings on one side of the ocean, then it'll cause a tsunami on the other.
So what you're saying, if you kill Hitler, it might lead to somebody worse than Hitler.
Yeah, worse than Hitler, or
well, we have
that
someone,
will last longer.
Stalin.
Someone did, so I'm doing EPQ at the moment, which is Extended Project Qualification. If you've got kids my age, you'll know. No, it's like loads of people do it. It's not like special. And you choose like a topic and then you just have to research it, and it's not like you don't get helped with by your teachers very much. You just have to kind of do it on your own, and then you produce either an artifact or a 5,000 word essay.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, but most people do the essay. I've been doing that, and a girl a couple of years ago before me did one, and her question, so it's a question and you answer the question in the essay, and her question was Hitler or Stalin worse? It might have been a little bit longer than that, but it was Hitler or Stalin worse? And she said, I think it's quite an interesting view, that Stalin was worse because he took something beautiful, which was like the idea of communism and this the Marxist view of how it could work and how harmonious the society could be, and he corrupted it, whereas all that Hitler did was just terrible things all the time.
Time for Meme of the Week now, Ruth.
How to watch a movie in 2018. Step 1, open Netflix. Step 2, click through 500 films. Step 3, select TV series. Step 4, pick episode you've seen. Step 5, look at your phone for 45 minutes.
Right, so what it's saying there, that's an amusing meme saying that you end up not watching. If you try and think, I'm going to watch a movie, you end up not watching a movie.
Yeah, in our modern society.
Is that because all movies are rubbish?
No, because people are lazy.
So that's your meme of the week. How we watch movies in 2018, i.e. we don't watch them.
And so this got me thinking about binge-watching series.
Yes, you know all about that.
Yeah. So I thought, should we say what we've binge-watched?
Yeah.
Be like Alcohol's Anonymous. Like, I haven't binge-watched for 3 weeks.
But you have. You've binge-watched the whole of Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, I'm done now, though.
12,000 episodes.
Yeah, I'm done now, though.
Right.
See?
But you'll find something else.
I'm not doing it anymore. Well,
no, don't do it anymore. I've not been.
Don't do it anymore.
No, don't. I've not binge watched anything.
Yeah, but then again, you've also not seen loads of series. It's like you don't really have a great frame of reference for like pop culture.
I do for pop culture.
Yeah, for pop culture, you don't have a great frame of reference for modern TV show culture.
Well, I do in a way.
Like, don't you feel like you can't get involved with conversations?
No, because I sort of know what people are on about. Because I read the papers every day and because I listen to the radio and stuff, I know about The West Wing, despite only having seen a few episodes.
Honestly, you would actually love The West Wing.
I probably would, actually. Just not
The West Wing is so good.
I just don't want to get involved because people watch it for months and things. So
I've watched
a couple of episodes. Yeah, I watched a couple of episodes of The West Wing.
It's really, really good.
Yes, it looks good. And Breaking Bad, I know what
that.
I know Walter White, I can do references to that. So I can sort of bluff my way in most of these. And that's my advice to young people today. Just find out what these things are about. You don't need to waste hours and hours and hours watching them.
But I found some figures about binge watching. And this is more than 3 hours TV per day doubles your risk of premature death.
Well, there you are.
I'm killing myself.
Yeah, you are.
I don't watch more than 3 hours every day. This is my...
You have done.
Yeah, I have done.
Your holiday. During your holiday, holiday, you watched more than 3 hours every day.
Yeah. Granted. They also said about binge-watching being antisocial. Apparently 56% prefer to watch the TV alone.
Yeah, well, I know. You like to fully concentrate because
I
happen to walk
like
to the
noise.
Room, it goes on pause straight away. Even if I'm not about to say anything, if I just walk in,
yeah,
the room
but you walk in, you walk in with a look,
with a look that says, "Is this your fourth episode of Grey's Anatomy?"
It's just so annoying because I feel like you get really on your high horse, like you've got a really because you've not watched TV series, is you've got like an air of superiority. I don't like it.
Well, let's get it all out into the open. Let's not just discuss these things between the two of us. Let the world know. Or at least
world.
We hope the world. Well, whoever's listening, we hope the world's listening.
That was basically all I had to say. And my final. I thought I'd ask you a question.
All right.
To end, when I was in Mrs. Simpson's class, this is year one. I had to write a letter to my 50-year-old self and saying, this is what I think the world might be like, this is what I hope I've done, you know, blah, blah, blah. I was just wondering, did you think the world would be at all like it is when you were 8 years old?
When I was 8 years old? Well, I didn't give much thought to what the world would be like when I was 8 years old, really.
Did you think that social media would become such
a massive
thing?
I thought I'd be a kid forever. I never thought I'd be an adult.
You stupid as a child is what we can infer from this.
Yeah, okay. So I thought I'd be a kid forever. I certainly didn't think I'd ever have kids of my own. But you could never imagine sort of social networks and the internet and carrying a phone around in your pocket. They just, well, for a start, a lot of people didn't have phones then anyway. I'm not sure. I think we might have just had a phone. When I was 8 years old, I couldn't even imagine the Beatles. You know,
I love that everything you ever talk about is like, I mean, we didn't even have the Beatles. Whatever
well,
it is,
true.
You could be talking about like chemical weapons and you'd be like, and what about the Beatles?
What about the Beatles? I watched 8 Days a Week, the documentary about the Beatles, again.
Oh, it's so good.
Saturday. It's just brilliant. But you do get the impression how much they really, really did change the world. I mean, not just the world of popular music. They changed everything.
They changed, stadium tours never happened before then.
No, nothing happened like that. But, I mean, and they did change everything. And when I was 8 years old, the Beatles were just getting together. John Lennon and Paul McCartney had just met at the...
I love that your whole life is just a timeline of Beatles
yes,
events.
They just met at the Woolton Carnival. I never thought there'd be a time when people wouldn't be smoking. Well, I never thought I'd be sitting here, not having had a cigarette. I'm just going to be watched now. Not having had a cigarette for 30 years. I didn't think that was ever going to happen. You know, 30 minutes without a cigarette, I thought, was not when I was 8 years old. Obviously, I wasn't smoking.
Yeah, 8 years old, I was just puffing on my pipe.
I didn't start smoking till I was about 12. And it was like a bit of a rite of passage. As soon as you got to 12.
I can't believe you started smoking when you were 12.
12 or 13, but
it's ridiculous.
People did. They used to sell...
12 is so young.
They used to sell single cigarettes in sweet shops for kids who wanted to start smoking.
That's brilliant. Should we sack it off now?
People love that catchphrase. Should we sack it off now?
All right, so tune in next week for number 13, The Baker's Dozen. Thank you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.